everyone, and welcome to the So Mindful podcast, where we dig into the tips and topics that will help you have great fun making clothes that make you feel fabulous. I'm your host, Jackie Blakemore of So Much More Fun, and I can't wait to share this week's illuminating episode with you. So let's roll the tape. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the So Mindful podcast. So this week, I've got another style episode for you. I'm always looking for tips around what makes a good outfit in general and for me in particular. So one aspect I'm learning more about is the impact of colours that we choose for our outfits. And so I wanted to share a bit more about that with you today. And because we're talking about style today, of course, I have with me the fabulous Imogen Lamport of Inside Out Style. Imogen's blog and website is an encyclopedia of style advice. I'm always in there looking for hints and tips. And so it's always an honour to have her join me today. So thanks, Imogen, for joining me. And it's lovely to see you again.
Pleasure. Thanks, Jackie.
So in case any of those naughty people out there haven't listened to the previous episodes, do you just want to share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So I have been a certified professional image consultant for 17 years-ish, and I've been doing personal colour analysis, have actually developed my own colour system because I felt that the systems that existed were lacking, that I was like having to put people into a group rather than having one that suited them, and have been working with clients all over the world through my online programs to help them find their colours and styles, define their styles so they can create a wardrobe full of clothes that they love to wear and that love them back.
Fabulous. What a lovely way to sum that up. And I think that definitely comes across in all the stuff that you do. So if you haven't listened, we've done quite a few episodes on various different topics. So do go back and look for those. They're on the So Mindful podcast and they're also on the So Much More Fun website. But today we're going to talk about all things colour related. And in particular, there are two topics that I've been learning more about that are fascinating me at the moment. And they are value contrast and colour contrast. And I wondered whether you could share a little bit more about firstly, what each of those are, and then we'll perhaps talk a little bit more about how people can use those.
Absolutely. Now, I'm really passionate about colour. It's one of my little things I love so much because I see what a massive impact it has on people. A lot of people don't realise just how much the colours they wear can make you look, you know, younger, more vibrant, more energetic, healthier, or older, wider, and just not as good. The right colours really, really make us look good. And I always think about when everything I'm doing with my clients and with, when I'm helping someone find their style, it's about finding the harmony with them. And so whether it's the styles flatter you physically and it's related to the shape of your body and therefore what other lines, designs, shapes work for you, or with the colours, what are the colours that are reflecting your colouring? So we each have our own colouring, and there are some kind of broad groups that we can put those different sort of colours in, which is I have 18 different groups in my colour system, which is called the absolute colour system, and it's some broad groups. It's generalised, so any colour system is generalised, and you're a unique human being, and this is where those concepts of value and colour contrast come in, because what they're doing is helping us personalise what is otherwise a general palette.
Yeah. And it was the first time when I started reading your stuff that I'd really seen it pointed out that your facial features can influence the colours that are the best suited for you. So the colour of your eyes, the colour of your hair, the colour of your skin, the colour of your lips, how important they are. And I'd never really seen it presented in that way before. And today what we're going to talk about pulls some of those aspects in, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. So this is where what we're wanting to do is repeat what we see in you. So when you're thinking about your outfit, what we want to do is create that harmony by repeating. There's a thing, like it's like resonance, it's like music. And I always think with colour, if you're wearing colours that don't work for you, it's a bit like listening to music that's out of tune. It's less than pleasant. Yeah. And in fact, I noticed that when I'm doing colour analysis, I actually feel sick when I'm looking at someone. I feel it in my gut. I feel sick when I'm looking at someone in the wrong colours. And when I see the right colours, this feeling of relaxation comes on me, and it feels like, and I call it coming home. It's like, ah, you know, it just feels right now. And so This is why colour has a profound impact. We live in a coloured world. We're surrounded by colour all the time. We remember a coloured experience 70% more than a black and white one. And so wearing colour, I mean, there's all sorts of fascinating things about the psychology of colour, which we won't go into today. But there's all sorts of fascinating things about colour, and it has a massive impact on us. And if you think about colour is light rays, and they each have their own frequency. And just like music is sound waves, which each have their own frequency, the colours that have the same wavelength as you, so they're colours that are, you know, within you, because they resonate at the same wavelength as you, they actually make you look so much better. So we're really looking at skin as our number one thing. And this is because when we're ill, skin is the thing. You go, oh, you look pale, you look peaky, you look unwell. Well, you know, that's in your skin. That's what we're seeing, is we're looking at your skin going, you don't look vibrant and alive, and you know, all those sorts of things. Hair is also really important. What hair gives us is what the technical word for how light or dark something is, the word value. So it has nothing to do with the cost of anything. Value is just the technical word for how light or dark a colour is. So your hair gives you your value. So if you have light hair, you have a light value. If you have dark hair, you have a dark value. If you have medium coloured hair, you have a more medium value. And, of course, everything in between. So these are, you know, we can go from pure white to pure black, and then there's all everything in between. So when we think about what is value contrast, it is the difference between the lightest part of your features and the darkest part. So if you are looking at yourself in the mirror and you go, the darkest thing about me is my hair, or the darkest thing about you might be your eyes, whatever it might be, or it could be your skin, that is the darkest value you have. And then you look at yourself and you go, what is the lightest element of me? Is it my hair, my skin, my eyes? And the difference between those two things is your value contrast. And when we're thinking about what we're putting on with outfits, is what we want to do is A, you know, repeat those values in our outfit, because this is where it's like that outfit looks like it's made for you, because it really relates to what we're seeing. So we're seeing you, and then we're seeing in the colours that you're wearing that those same values are repeated along with the same colours. And this is why having a colour analysis is such a useful tool. Because what it's doing is finding the colours that are in harmony with you, that so we can repeat them really easily. It's a tool that just makes life so much easier. And then from that selection, which is still a broad selection, like the colour swatch I give my clients, it's got 50 colours in it. And I call it 50 of the 50,000 colours. It's basically an executive summary of the 50,000 available colours. But what we're looking for is it my family versus somebody else's family? Is it the same sort of colour properties? Because you can't possibly, you know, carry every single variation of those colours in one colour swatch. You never fit it in your handbag. So we have to, like, you know, cut it down to a more reasonable number. But then from that, we are also looking at which are the colours that are within you. And therefore, we'll use those more because they're going to be your really enhancing colours. And so when we're looking at contrast, we've got this value contrast. So what is the lightest to darkest? And if we repeat that same kind of light and dark in your outfit, in your selection of colours, you'll find that the outfit will just look so much better on you. It'll look like it's made for you. And this is where, of course, as a sewist, you do get to choose those things. It's much harder when you're buying things from a store and you're having to choose from what's available rather than making the choice at the earliest stage before it gets there.
Yeah.
And it really just makes the outfit look like it's part of you, and that it's, you know, it's always going to look more expensive. It's always going to look better, because it's repeating you. So you look like more of a whole rather than a head sitting on an outfit.
Yeah. And so in that respect, things that wouldn't work, if your skin and hair colour are fairly similar and your eye colour's similar to that as well, then you've got a low difference, haven't you? And so wearing black and white probably won't suit you, or wearing quite extremes of light and dark probably won't suit you, as well as wearing something that's more a similar value. So maybe all of one colour or all of one shade of that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So if you think, say, Snow White as an example, let's do Disney princesses because everybody knows what they look like. So if you think Snow White, she's black hair, white skin. So she is a very high value contrast. So she looks great in black and white. And that's what they basically dress her in. You think about the outfit she's wearing, it's black and white dress.
Yeah.
Now if we go to Cinderella. Cinderella's got, you know, a light coloured hair, a light coloured eyes and fair skin. So she is a much lower value contrast. You think about her outfit, she just wears like a pale blue dress, and that works for her because it relates to her. So they're two examples of that kind of high value contrast versus a low value contrast, and just how you might think about the differences. So if someone's a low value contrast, so if Cinderella popped on Snow White's frock, she'd find that it just wore her. She wouldn't look as beautiful as she does. The dress would overwhelm her. And if Snow White put on Cinderella's blue frock, you'd look at it and you go, oh, it's a bit meh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, not strong enough. Not strong enough to match those differences in the black and white. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So really it's like look in the mirror and you can even do things like, and I've got grayscales on my website too that you can download. But you can find a grayscale and print it out and look in the mirror and go, what's the lightest part about me? And mark that on the grayscale. And what's the darkest part about me? And mark that on the grayscale. And that's going to give you your value contrast. So you go, if I dress in light like my skin and dark like my hair, say, you know, or if my eyes are really dark. So if you've got something like a smaller feature like eyes, so say you've got fairly similar hair and skin colours, but your eyes are dark. So you want to think about dressing more in an overall light outfit or whatever is the same value as your hair and skin, but then with pops of dark. So it's almost thinking about those percentages as well. So rather than going, well, I've got dark eyes, but I've got, you know, medium light hair, so we are wear all dark with a little bit of light. It's actually better the other way around. It's always better to go with a larger percentage of your outfit in a value that is similar to your hair. And this is because hair really dominates. It surrounds our face. And if you think about it, if you had to describe someone to somebody else, so say you met someone today in the street and you got home and your husband said, you know, what do they look like? The first thing you're going to mention is hair color, whether it's light hair, dark hair, or red hair, you know, blue hair, whatever the colour might be, but it will be hair tends to be the thing we notice first. Then we'll usually go to skin, and then we might go to eyes if we can even remember what colour their eyes were.
Yeah.
Now, unless they're a startling colour, a lot of the time it's like, oh, I can't even quite remember the eyes. But this is why hair and skin, they really dominate. So we want to definitely be repeating those elements in our outfits. And so it's thinking about, well, that hair is first. So hair gives us what I call ideal value, which is really the optimal lightness or darkness of the overall feel of your outfit. So if you are looking at, say, proportions, you go, it's 60% the same value as your hair. Then skin, it's a good proportion of us. Now, depending if it's summer or winter, we might be covered up to our wrists or we might be more uncovered, but we certainly do notice it. So that's our, say, 30% of our outfit. And so whatever that value is. And then eyes are the 10%. It's the accent. It's the pop. It's the interest. It's the other part of us.
Yeah. I read somewhere about the impact of some of the bigger pieces of clothing that we wear. So things like cardigans or coats, also shoes, matching those to the bigger proportion, which is things like your hair colour.
Yeah. So if you are going, I just need one pair of shoes or one pair of summer sandals or a new handbag or an overcoat. You know, I always get called shoes, bags, coats, belts. The things that we put over the top of a lot of garments, hair colour. If you repeat your hair colour in those garments, or at least something in the same value as your hair colour, you'll find that it goes with way more. You'll find that that's your multi-purpose colour, is your hair colour is your multi-purpose colour. So, you know, I looked at you, Jackie, I'd say some sort of tan or camel would be your multi-purpose colour versus for me, now I've gone grey, is some sort of pewter silver sort of grayish sort of colour. When I was blonde, it was more of a, you know, light, not white, but pretty light colour, light nude sort of colour. When I used to have black hair, it was black shoes and black handbags and black coats and all those sorts of things. But it's really easy when you're just going to repeat that. It's like then it always works. It just makes it really easy. So look, some people like to have 4,000 pairs of shoes in a different colour for every outfit. And other people, it's I've got 10 pairs of shoes. What colour will they be? Well, go with hair colour and you're always going to be safe. And it will always work because in the art world, there's a thing called visual grouping, where what we see is we'll see the colour on your head, we'll see your hair, and then the eye travels down the body. We see it repeated on the feet. We go, oh, I've seen that colour before, and it actually draws your attention back up to your face. Mm-hmm. So it has a nice effect. It's a bookend effect.
Yeah, so it brings it back around. You talk about the fact always wanting to draw attention to the portrait area, which is obviously the face and neck area. So that makes a lot of sense. So that's the values. So for me, I think we talked about having a medium ideal value. And so when you're putting outfits together, what does that mean in terms of, because it's not really about the colours themselves, is it? It's more about the shades of the colours and those combinations. Is that right?
So with the value contrast, it's less about the colour. So this is, we're having a palette, you're choosing from your defined set of colours, but you're looking at going a similar value to your hair, more of your outfit. So things, particularly like things like the third piece, like the layer, often if you have that in the same value as your hair, it's going to just work really well. That's kind of a really easy thing. And then thinking about, like, so you might have a jacket in something that's the same value as your hair, a top in something that's the same value as your skin, and then a scarf or necklace that's in the same value as your eyes. And that's going to bring those three elements of you together. And then we've got our color contrast. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. And this is a concept that it's something I was never taught any of this in my training. It wasn't something anybody ever talked about. And I remember I was getting dressed and I was wearing my palette of colors. I was thinking, this is my palette. I should look amazing. I don't look amazing. What is wrong? And this is where if you're just given some general palette, which most people are, but not taught how to put the colors in that palette together, where you can feel like, well, it doesn't work because I'm wearing a color that's supposed to be a great color for me. So why am I like not looking amazing in the way I want to? And I remember I was looking at myself in the mirror and thinking, what is it about me physically that is not working in this? What am I not repeating? And I suddenly noticed that the contrast was wrong. And that's when I went, ah. And as soon as I made a few little changes, a couple of tweaks here and there, and it can sometimes just be, for me that day, it was I put on a cami. So it was a tiny bit. You saw the little triangle of cami underneath the open shirt. And it was that that made the outfit work. It was only a tiny little change. It doesn't have to be a lot sometimes to change it, but it was just enough that it created the right contrast for me. And having now looked at, I can't tell you, millions of photos of my clients, my online programs, and they share their outfits. And they'll often put outfit photos together where they'll have 5 days of photos sort of thing, different outfits. And you can suddenly see where the value contrast works and where the color contrast works. So color contrast is, contrast just means how different the colors are. So when you look at your colouring and you think about the colour wheel, so the colour wheel, we have our red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, it's the rainbow. And whether or not we are on colour wheel or off colour wheel, black, white, grey, brown, to know, well, how much of me is on colour wheel? So if you were, say, let's go Cinderella, she is golden hair, blue eyes, pink lips. So she is, if you look at a colour wheel, and a colour wheel is an incredibly useful tool to own. I highly recommend everybody go to the art store and buy one. There is a little thing in the middle called colour relationships. There's a little wheel that turns and it talks about triads and complementary colours and all sorts of things like that. So Cinderella is a triad. So she looks good in more colours at the same time. Versus if you think about Snow White, she is like black and white, and but now she does have blue eyes. So she's added a colour, and they usually put a red lip on her so she can wear a bit of colour, but she hasn't got as much colour as Cinderella does. So Cinderella's got a reasonably high colour contrast but a low value contrast. So Cinderella can wear a couple of different colours together versus Snow White's better with, as long as the value contrast is there, because that's what we really notice, doesn't matter as much about the colour. Now let's bring in another Disney princess and talk about Ariel. So Ariel is red hair and green eyes. So we have got that opposite on the colour wheel. So this is a complementary scheme. And so this is the brightest colour scheme that's available. So complementary colours, so any colour that's opposite each other, makes the opposite one pop. Yeah. And this is why it's used a lot in interior decorating, where they'll have a blue room and a bowl of oranges, or, you know, like you'll see this. And if you go to the hairdresser and they go, oh, you've got blonde hair, you need purple shampoo. Well, the reason is that purple is opposite yellow, which is your blonde, basically. And when you mix those colours together, it actually neutralises them. But they do actually make each other pop, interestingly. And this is why if you've got brown hair, you'll get a blue shampoo, because brown is basically a dark orange if you look at kind of how it's created. Yeah. But we just don't see it as coloured any longer. So when we think about our colour contrast, it's how many colours am I? Am I on colour wheel or off colour wheel? How many colours do I have in me? So therefore, do I want really colourful outfits? So Ariel, you think about it, she's got the green fishtail and the purple bra. Yeah. So she's wearing like multiple colours.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no neutrals on Ariel, is there? She's all colour. versus Snow White, she's wearing that black and white. That's what really we notice. So if you looked at you, Jackie, which I'm sure many of your people will find it very easy to find a photo of you, you can see that you're more neutral. You've got brownish, dark blonde hair, really, but it's in that kind of brown blonde. Yeah. You've got more brown coloured eyes and fairly neutral skin, more beige skin, so which is really more what we call monochromatic. So monochromatic just means one colour. So mono meaning one and chromatic or chroma meaning colour, versus black and white is not monochromatic. Black and white is actually achromatic, so a meaning without. So black and white is without colour versus monochromatic means shades of one colour. So it doesn't have to be just exactly the same colour. People often get very confused with monochromatic. They often think it means I can only wear exactly one shade of one colour, and, you know, rather than I can have light and dark green, or I can have lighter and dark, whatever is my value contrast, I can have light and dark versions, but more similar colours, rather than saying I'm going to wear like blue and orange together when you go, that's probably going to look a little bit much.
Yeah. Which is a shame because I do like blue and orange together, but you're totally right. It's not, it doesn't really work. It wears me, not I'm wearing it. So yeah, it totally makes sense.
If it's colour combinations you love, put them in your house. Like, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy that. Like, it's just it. I always think of it like, if you think about interior decorating, you've got a much bigger space, you can have more stuff, you can put those colours out there and you can enjoy them. Like, have them in your life. Yeah. As a person, we're like a really small room, and the more petite you are, the tinier the room you are. And so you're going to be worn rather than you wearing the clothes. The clothes will wear you when it gets too much for you. So you need to be a little bit more subtle usually.
And making that transition, I think that's what I'm starting to see now. As I start to bring more of those shades into my wardrobe, it is making things easier to wear together. They seem to go better together. And yeah, it definitely does make a difference. And I think, like you also mentioned around, you can still have some of those pops of colour, but use them in a small percentage, like as a handbag or as a scarf or as a necklace or a trim detail or something like that. You can still have those and they'll stand out probably more, won't they? Because they'll work with the rest of the outfit and be more of an accent.
Yeah. So I was thinking about smaller proportions rather than like colour blocking. And often people wonder, how do I do my colour contrast without colour blocking? It's like, you don't have to colour block. I mean, A, you can look for a pattern that may have some colours in it, more than one colour, or B, you can just add an accessory, your scarf, your belt, your earrings, your whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be big to create contrast.
Yeah.
And I always think one of the really good ways of even figuring out whether you're lower colour contrast versus higher colour contrast is think about your favourite scarf. Now, most of us often have a scarf that's one that we wear a lot. For some reason or other, it's become a real favourite. And what I've found from asking many, many clients is that I'll say, tell me about your favourite scarf. And I'll say, oh, it's shades of green. And I'll look at them and I go, oh, I'm going to tell you why that's your favourite. And it's because you're a low colour contrast. So just shades of green gives you some interest, but it's not really colourful. It's just we've picked one colour and we've just repeated it. Versus someone who is a high colour contrast, it'll be some sort of multicoloured pattern.
And so in terms of combining those in terms of an outfit then, so you talked there about neutrals and colours and about high and low colour contrast. So if you're putting an outfit together in terms of from a colour perspective, so we've talked about from a value perspective, what would that look like if you were high colour contrast versus low colour contrast?
So if you have a higher colour contrast, you might not wear much in the way of neutrals. So most of us have something neutral about us. Many of us have neutral coloured hair, or, you know, some of us have neutral coloured skin, or some of us have neutral coloured eyes. Generally, there's often a bit of neutral, but there are some people who have, like, you look at them and go, there's really nothing neutral about them. So those are people who are better to actually avoid neutrals. They're not neutral people, just wear the colours. But the many of us, like, the neutral is a handy sort of thing. It gives us something to base a wardrobe around. They're very useful sort of things to have in our wardrobe because they go with a lot. And this is where having a palette also helps, is because your neutrals still relate to different palettes, because you've got warmer ones and cooler ones and lighter ones and darker ones. But your neutrals will work really well with your colours, which means you have more options. Because often people think if they limit themselves to a colour palette, they'll have fewer options because they're actually limiting what they're bringing in. But in fact, what it does is expand the options you have in your wardrobe, because everything works together much more easily. Mm. Because those colours are designed to work together because they have the same colour properties. So when we're thinking about putting an outfit together, so say if we're like you, where you go, okay, I've got a medium value contrast and a low colour contrast, what I might think about doing is just doing a neutral with one colour, and I might have a light colour and a slightly darker neutral, or the other way around, whichever way you want to do it, versus if we have a higher colour contrast, we will think about, do I want to wear, and this is where patterns are so useful to go, do I want to wear a pattern garment that has multiple colours in it? Do I want to, you know, bring in a scarf? And this is where I could have a neutral outfit, but then a colourful scarf, and that is going to add that colour element in to the outfit. So it could be something like that, or just have one garment that's in a colour, but we're adding in, then maybe an accessory in another colour. And this is where all the personality starts layering on top of here of what you like and your personal preferences and all those things, because it's like a fancy, fancy sundae when we're thinking about our style, where we can have some nuts and some ice cream and some cream and some chocolate sauce and some caramel sauce and some cherries and some other fruit. We're like, honestly, you know, this is where we can start layering it up to be whatever it is our taste. I always think the easiest way when we're thinking about mixing colours is to mix colours in a similar value. If you think about interiors, like let's go back to interiors. When we mix colours in a room, if we've got a pastel room, the whole room's pastel. We haven't gone, let's put some pastels with some bright colours and some grayed down colours and some dark. We'll go a pastel room, or we'll go a bright room, or we might do a dark and moody jewel-toned room. But it's all those colours are related. They've got similar value and similar intensity to them. So the intensity is just bright versus how grayed down or muted the colours are. Then to create that value contrast, this is where I'll often use the neutral. So if we choose our colours, our colours work together in a similar value. So if I'm going to go pastels, I go all light colours. So I can mix those colours together really easily, depending on my colour contrast. So it might be two shades of different blues. If it was a low colour contrast, it could be blue with pink. If it was a, you know, a higher colour contrast. Yes. And then I'll add my neutral in to create the value contrast.
Right.
So if I'm a low value contrast, if I've got a pale blue and a pale pink, for example, I might have just a light grey. If I've got a medium one, it could be a medium grey. And then if I've got a high value contrast, I might put in a navy or a dark grey or a black. Then that's going to create that value contrast. So often it's thinking, use your neutrals to create value contrast, but use the different colours together in a similar value for your colour contrast.
That makes sense. And you mentioned there as well about choosing pattern fabrics, and this relates to that as well, doesn't it, in terms of the types of patterns that are going to suit you and how many colours they have in them. And I think I've spotted that as well, where you might be drawn to a really highly coloured patterned fabric. When you actually put it on, it doesn't work for me. It's just too much, versus one that's only got a back colour and a single colour within the pattern seems to be a lot better for me.
Yeah,
I think that is, again, just being aware of those aspects as well, isn't it? And also the contrast of the colours, you know, whether they are similar colours together or whether they're opposite on the colour wheel. I think also that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So when we're thinking about, say, choosing a pattern, choose a pattern with a background is similar to the value of your hair. That's the first thing to do. The pattern's always going to look better when the background colour is in our ideal value. Then look at yourself in the mirror. And this is where the more you go, can I repeat the colours in me? It's like, if you sit there and go, can I find the colour of my eyes? Can I find the colour of my lip and the colour of my skin? You'll put it on, you'll go, this pattern really works. But it is looking to repeat those things. So if you are looking at a pattern for you, so you go, oh, I'm a low colour contrast, I don't want a multicolour pattern. I could have shades of one colour. It can be monochromatic. It could be shades of green, shades of blue, shades of purple, whatever colour it is. Or it could be a neutral, you know, like it could have a couple of neutrals in it. You might have tan and a light brown. So say a leopard print, for example, could be an example of a tonal print. And then you could put that with a colour in your outfit. You know, you could put an accent colour in. Or it could just be some sort of print where it's got a couple of shades of one colour and a small amount of something else. Now, the more similar it is, which is what we call the analogous colour, so these are colours that are next to each other on the colour wheel, the easier it is for anybody to wear, even if you don't have a lot of colour about you, versus the more we go triads or complementary, when we get further away from that colour, it becomes trickier to wear. It becomes more obvious. It'll stand out more. So I always think it's like, look at yourself in the mirror and see, like, is it more similar? And then it can depend on the style of print. And so there are some prints that are more blended and there are some prints that are more stark. So if you think about, just for example, a zebra print. A zebra print is a very stark, high-value contrast print. It's very hard to wear unless you look like Snow White. It's just, don't even go there. But if we look at a snake skin or many leopard prints and things like that, they're often they're quite blended prints. There's bitty little bits all over it. Some sort of print where it's very all over, there's a lot going on. They're often much more blended prints when there's not much negative space, which is like the background of the fabric, that you'll then find that that's often a much easier print to wear because it is more blended. So it means it's less obvious than something, say, like a zebra print or a stripe or something that's just one color and the other color, and they're boldly put next to each other.
Yeah. And I have a jacket that I made. It is an animal print, but it's an animal print on a white background. And I love the feel of the fabric, and I don't like wearing the jacket because I know it's too big a contrast. The white stands out way too much. And so looking at ways of dyeing it or changing the background, I think that's going to be the next thing. But yeah, that makes sense to me in terms of the reason I love the jacket, but I'm never that comfortable wearing it because I'm just really conscious of that difference between it's quite a dark animal print and then on quite a light background. And I think that's good to pay attention to.
And this is where dyeing is a great way of fixing stuff. You know, it's not too hard to dye stuff. And these days, particularly with machine dyes and things, throw it in the machine with a bit of dye and pull it out and it's done for you. It can be really easy. So I often will say, well, pick like a background color that's in a similar value to your hair, and it's just going to make the whole thing better for you. You'll find that it's just much easier to wear. So yeah, you, especially people who sew, know, well, I can change the neckline if I don't like it, and I can change this or that. But get very precious about their clothes, and they often think, well, the designer made it like that, I can't possibly change it, when in fact it's very easy to dye something, particularly if it's got natural fibers. It's a bit more complex when it's all polyester because you need to use polyester dyes and stuff, but if it's got like some natural fiber base, you'll find that you can really have a start liking effect on, you know, improving things and even lightening things up, because you can use a dye remover. And I've seen people take what was a black garment, do a dye remover, and then put something else over the top that's a better colour. And, you know, they've loved the garment. It's just the colour's not right.
Yeah, so, and I've seen that. Yeah, there's a lot of people on your Facebook group that do a lot of that kind of stuff. That was the first time I came across it. And just the understanding, because you use the word, for more of a brown undertone, you use the word toasted, which I think is brilliant. Yeah. It is that sense of having a brown element to the colour. And I don't think we always see that. We often hear about warm and cool, but not necessarily that subtle difference. And that made a big impact for me, looking at how to reference those colours that would suit me better. And I saw something about using yellow dyes to achieve that, adding a yellow to a particular garment to get that effect as well.
So particularly say if you've bought something or you've got something that's too cool for you and you're warm, you can do it's much less of a throw it in the washing machine for half an hour sort of thing. It's more of a dip dye bath where you can just subtly change the undertone by using yellow. And if you've got something that's too warm, you can do the same thing with grey. Or if it's too bright, you can do a bit of grey too as well. So if you've got something that's just like screaming every time I put it on, those sorts of things can make a big difference. And it's amazing how we've already spent the time and effort and money, because some people go, oh, is it worthwhile? It's like, you've already spent the time and effort and money to acquire that piece. And if you've made it, you've spent even more time doing that.
Yeah.
So going, if everything else about it is something that you love, dyeing is such an easy way to turn it into something that you'll wear so much more. And I've had clients say, I was never wearing, like, you know, we're all told we need a white shirt in our wardrobe. Like, it's that, oh, we all need a classic white shirt
and a black dress. Like, they're the two things.
Like a black dress. And it's like, I can't tell you how many people have got them and they never get worn. People say, well, what color do I dye it? I go, dye it to your eye color, like, or dye it to something, what we call an eye enhancer. So if you have blue eyes, find a blue that's like your eyes, dye it to that. If you've got green eyes, do the same. If you've got brown eyes, it can depend, because some people have orangey brown eyes, some people have red brown eyes. Sometimes it's finding those sorts of colors, because when we can make our eyes pop, A, they draw more attention to themselves. And I always say, if you're looking in my eyes, you're not looking at my thighs. Because one of the things that happens as we age, the joys of aging, is we notice the pigment going from our hair as we grey down. So we soften down, our colouring changes, we soften down with age. Now, skin changes as well. And this is why if you see someone dye their hair to their natural colour and you think, it just looks really harsh, it's because they don't have the skin they had when they had that colour. Like, right. Your natural colour is the colour of your hair that's currently growing out of your head, not what you had when you were 20 or 5 or some other bygone age. And so this is what we don't have the skin. Skin changes along with hair. So we notice the pigment in the hair changing is the most obvious thing, but skin pigment changes too, and eye pigments fade. So you might think, oh, when I was young, I had really, you know, bright blue eyes or something. And many people with brown eyes, their eyes end up going more green. And they haven't even realized because they just don't look that closely in the mirror and they just have identified as having brown eyes. And sometimes you go, actually, no, your eyes are more olivey green now than they are brown.
Yeah.
And so that can change. So often if we make that eye color look brighter, because bright eyes, you think about that saying, bright eyed and bushy tail. What does that mean? It's like I'm full of energy.
Yeah.
You know, and so bright eyes are a sign of youth and vigor and energy. So when we can brighten our eye color up, so anything that makes your eyes look brighter, it's always going to be a great color. And so this is what we call eye enhancers. So always look for eye enhancers. They're great color for your tops, for your scarves, for any jewelry, anything that repeats that color and anything in this portrait area, because we're communicating from our face. When I'm having a conversation with you, I am not talking to your thighs.
No.
I'm trying to look at your face. So anything I can do in my outfit to draw your attention up there, it's going to distract from everything else that's going on.
Fantastic. And I think the dye remover, so you were talking about as we get lighter shades of skin and hair as we get older, one of the things that I noticed in the Facebook group was how people were using the dye remover to actually extract some of the harshness of the colour from the garment to give them something softer that was more in tone with their own appearance. And that just works. Absolutely amazing examples. I love it.
We just don't think of these things, but there are ways of doing this stuff that can give a garment a whole new life.
Especially because at the moment, all the stuff in the shops always looks the same colour to me. There doesn't seem that much choice at the moment. It's either really bland or super sparkly. There isn't much in between. So if you can take a bit more control, even if you're not a maker, even if you're not dressmaking, it can be really useful to have those things, can't it, as well? Fabulous. Obviously, we chat forever and I could carry on going, but I'm conscious of time and people obviously listening to the episode. So loads to take in there. Thank you so much. And I think that's a really good grounding in just that topic of understanding the impact. And I was saying to Imogen at the beginning that my mum and I are always kind of analysing what's working, what's not working. And we've been talking and focusing quite a lot on the shapes and silhouettes of outfits. But actually, as I started to understand more about these value contrasts and colour contrasts, I've started to realise there are reasons why I wasn't comfortable in certain things that I was wearing. So hopefully that's given you an insight into that today and you can start to have a play with that. And there's quite a lot of stuff about this on Imogen's website. I'll put some links and things on there as well around how to understand your own value and colour contrast. But also, if you want to go further, then Imogen has some services that you can use as well. So any last thoughts, Imogen, around that topic?
Look, it's one of those things, I think, you know, the more you learn and then just trying things out. And I think one of the best ways of working out what's working for you is take photos of your outfit. So just when you get dressed in the morning, take a snap in the mirror. Doesn't have to be fancy, but you need to keep your head in it because we need to look at your face. Don't worry about your facial expression. but do have a look and then start to notice at the end of the week, line all the photos up or pop them in an album on your camera and look at which outfits look the most effective, which ones seem to work best, and actually start to look at things like, well, what is the value contrast of that outfit? What is the color contrast of that outfit? What is the ideal value of that outfit? And you'll start to see often that the ones that work best are repeating what's in you. They're in the most harmony with you. And the ones that you look at, you think that outfit is unrelated to me, it's not in harmony with you. It's like Snow White dressing as Cinderella or the other way around.
Definitely. So if people want to contact you, Imogen, then what's the best way to reach you?
Head over to my blog, insideoutstyleblog.com. You can click on the contact form and I've got masses and masses. I've got a search bar there that if you just want to look up something like the concept of ideal value or colour contrast or value contrast, put those into the search bar and you will find heaps of free resources there. To help you on your way to start getting a better idea of just what these mean and some images, because of course we're just talking about this, but it's so much easier to understand when you actually see some images. So I've got lots of images on there as well.
Yeah, so definitely go and check that out. And I'll put the links for that and I'll pick out some of the articles as well that I've been having a look at for people to easily access. So thank you so much, Imogen. It's always a joy. I always learn so much from these episodes. So really appreciate you taking the time and I hope it's been fun for you.
It's always fun for me, Jackie. I love talking about this.
Fabulous. Well, we'll do another one again soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Check out the show notes in the description area of your podcast app and click to follow or subscribe. or head over to sewmindful.com/podcast, which is sewmindful.com, where you can also sign up for an email reminder so that you don't miss out on any juicy episodes. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, then please help others find us by leaving a review if you love this episode. And I'm always excited to find out what you got from the episode and how you plan to use the tips. And finally, if you have a question, feedback, or a topic you'd like me to investigate, then you can also email me at hello@somuchmorefun.co.uk. So until next time, stay gorgeous and have so much more fun.